The scripture reading today is one of those familiar passages. A lot of times it's part of the what we call the passion narrative that's usually preached around Easter time. But if you recall, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be a United Methodist in this day and age and how we live out the covenant that we made standing before this church or a similar church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our witness, and our service. And today we're looking at the service aspect that we see in John 13. As part of Jesus' farewell discourse, many disciples thought that Jesus would come back during their lifetime. But we know some 2,000 years later, we're waiting just like the disciples were for Jesus' second coming, or Jesus' what we call Advent, Him coming back to be among us. So hear these words as an example, hear these words as conviction, hear these words however your heart sees them impact you today. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as these words are spoken today, may they bring you praise. As we encounter them yet again and understand fully well that you have called all of us to a life of service, help us this day to know you, to experience you, and to live by the example that you've set for us in this scripture today. We give you thanks for it, and it's in your Son and our Savior's most wonderful and precious name I do pray, and all of God's people do say, Amen. John 13, starting with verse 1. Jesus knew that his time was close at hand, and that he would be leaving this world to go to be with the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus, and Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, and picked up a linen towel and wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. Then Jesus came to Simon Peter and said to Simon Peter, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand later. No, said Peter, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't have a place with me. And Simon Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus responded, those who have bathed need only to have their feet washed, because they are completely clean. You disciples are clean, but not every one of you. He knew who was to betray him. That's why he said it. Not every one of you here is clean. After he washed the disciples' feet, he put on his robe and returned to his place at the table. He said to them, do what I've done for you. Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example, just as I have done, that you must also do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Several years back, I met a wonderful man named Shane Claiborne. Shane is kind of one of those odd characters in my life. He's Princeton educated, graduated at the top of his class, phenomenal young man. But Shane's kind of different. He's 6'2". He wears those heavy reader glasses, the real Coke bottle thick glasses. He sews his own clothes, which you can imagine if each of you had to sew your own clothes, what we'd all look like. And he has dreadlocks, and he's quite an interesting fellow to pick up from the airport, if you've ever picked up somebody like that, because he draws attention to himself, some by people not knowing what to do with this 6'2 guy with dreadlocks, thick glasses, and his own sewn clothes. But as you get to know Shane, he's one of these different people in that he does ministry with the homeless in Philadelphia, part of a ministry called The Simple Way. And one of the things that Shane had on his bucket list of servitude was to serve with Mother Teresa. And this was well before she passed away. So Shane said, well, I'm going to call Mother Teresa because I want to go to India and see what she does in ministry so I can learn from her, be at her feet. So he picks up the telephone after he gets the number and calls the convent in which she resides. And he hears on the other end of the phone a soft hello, and Shane says to the person on the other side, I would like to speak to Mother Teresa. And then the small voice replies, speaking. And Shane again says, I would like to, thinking the lady on the other end hasn't heard her, heard him, I would like to speak to Mother Teresa. This is Mother Teresa. And Shane at that point about drops the telephone because he didn't expect Mother Teresa to answer the convent phone. But he goes over there several months after making arrangements and setting up the trip and everything to spend time with her. And the story that has stuck with him throughout this time of spending those several months with her, learning what she did in ministry, was when a shipment of shoes showed up to the convent. Now, many of us through the years have sent shoe boxes, you know, through Samaritan's Purse. We may have sent a new pair of shoes to a third world country, but this is not anything like this. This is a pallet of shoes. And when I mean a pallet of shoes, it's got sides on it, it's wrapped in shrink wrap, and they're just shoes. Some that we would probably donate to Goodwill and others, and they're just the worst shoes that you can think of. Discolored, not clean at all, not something that many of us would put on unless we were doing gardening work or something like that. Well, the shipment arrives, and Shane is there watching Mother Teresa work, and Mother Teresa at this point in the day has not put on her shoes. And she looks at her sisters gathered around and says to them, we need to find ourselves some shoes. And by her example, she goes and digs through the pile and finds the dirtiest pair. They're not even her size. And Shane begins to look at her feet and realize that she's probably done this for many years because of, between the arthritis and the ill-fitting shoes. She picks the worst pair and her sisters follow suit. And then she looks at them and the ones that are gathered that day and says, now let's go out and let's serve the people on the streets and let's give away these shoes. For us here today, it's hard to imagine that kind of poverty. It's hard for us to imagine going through some already worn shoes and saying, this is the best pair right here, the dirtiest that I can find. I don't care if they fit or not, but I want someone in my life or in other people's lives to have better than me. And today, the example that we have in Scripture today is no different. Because Jesus, in essence, was taking the lowliest of servant jobs, the house servant number three, the lowest position, and he's taking it on onto himself and saying, I'm going to do this for the disciples. I'm going to bend down and I'm going to wash each of their feet. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a foot person at all. I don't even like the feet that I was born with. I'd trade them in tomorrow. But to wash somebody's feet is one of the most humbling things that you can do, even in this day and age. Because we protect our feet. We put shoes on them. We don't want anybody to see our feet unless it's summertime, right? And even then, I don't want to see some of your feet. But in essence, he takes on the role of the servant. So if you're following along in the Grow, Pray, and Study, the first fill-in is selfless service. Because in essence, that's what Jesus gave us as an example, is a selfless service. That's what Mother Teresa in her time with Shane gave for us, is selfless service that puts others before yourself, takes on the lowliest roles, takes on the jobs that nobody else wants. And I don't know about you, I dream about a church that's willing to do that, to take on the role of servant to those that may not look like them, may not act like them, may not even be from the same socioeconomic bracket, but is able to offer that selfless service to each and every person they encounter. And if you'll notice in this passage that Jesus did this out of love, it wasn't that he was doing it out of any other reason. And did you catch that Judas is still there? So the very man that is going to be betrayed, that's going to betray Jesus, he washes his feet. Now, how many of us here today would be willing to deal with somebody that had betrayed us or not had done us wrong? Would we offer our service selflessly? Now, you got to love Peter in this passage. Peter is a lot like many of us, and myself included. kind of brashly says, well, just don't wash my feet, Jesus, wash all of me. Some of us are that way. We kind of miss what is happening in our midst. And what Peter was asking for was baptism. And what Jesus was saying, no, no, this is service, Peter. This is not about getting clean again because you're already clean. This is about doing this for others. So us here today, we need to be in the mindset that we might need to be continually cleansed. We might need somebody to come alongside us and wash our feet, or we may need to go to somebody else and cleanse them. Or say, hey, I want to pray for you. I want to be in your life and I want to help you. But there's a little deeper issue here within the context of this passage, is the understanding, the realization that each and every one of us needs some cleansing and renewal in our life. It might mean that we need to set aside a relationship right now that's not working for us. It might mean that we need to do something differently in our lives that's absorbing our time and our energy. It might ultimately mean that we pick up the phone and say to someone, we're sorry, and will you forgive me? But Peter was going to miss it by saying, do it all to me, when all Jesus was wanting to do was basically to say, you're clean already. Just follow my example. And of course, in the context of this passage today, is Jesus doesn't show any favorites. It's kind of hard to do in the church sometimes, isn't it? We like to be around the people that are lovely. We like to be around the people that are popular sometimes. We like to be around those that are easy to love. But in the context of this passage today, we realize that Jesus had to love the unlovely. He had to ultimately love the person that was going to betray him and take on the humble act of servitude. Now, there are three scriptures here today, and they're ones that are familiar to you. You know, John 13:35 is basically, it says this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In the church, do we truly love one another? Do we love both the lovely and the unlovely? Do we love the ones that we don't necessarily like? Do we love the ones that we love? Do we love the ones that we don't like at all? Do we love them? Because Jesus ultimately loved Judas. He ultimately loved all his disciples. He even loved Peter in all his brashness. But do we in the church today love like he did? Do we live out the call that God has placed in our lives? Do we love the unlovely? Now, there's a story about an airline flight that got canceled. And of course, some 100 or so people were displaced. And if you've ever been in that circumstance where your flight's been canceled, it's the worst place in the world to be, because you know that it's going to be a long wait. Well, in the midst of what was going on in that terminal, they were all lined up and there was only one ticket person at the desk. And this guy got frustrated, as often many of us do, and he pushed his way up to the front and he said to the lady at the counter, and said to them this. He said, I want to be on this flight, and it needs to be first class, and it needs to be right now. And the lady looks at him and says, well, sir, you need to get back in line. I'm waiting on the person that's standing in front of me. Just get back in line. Well, the guy was angry at this point and looks at her and says, do you know who I am? And the lady, without missing a beat, picks up the microphone and speaks into the microphone that broadcasts at the gate and says to the person, it says to everyone gathered there, we have a passenger here that doesn't know who he is. If you can help this gentleman, please come to the gate and help this fellow out. And of course, the whole concourse breaks out in applause, because they're in the same boat. They're all sitting there waiting. They want to be first in line. They don't want to wait, but they understand that this guy is not being too nice. There's some terms for that. Y'all can fill in the blank there, but you get the point. Because in essence, when we're truly living out our life of service, we don't jump to the front of the line. We don't say it's all about me. We say ultimately it's about Jesus. And our response to the love that he has for us, and our response and our servant attitude and our servant's heart, is that sometimes we don't get our way. It's sometimes we don't get to be first. Sometimes we don't get to demand this is the way it should be. But in essence, we're supposed to lead by example. And there are four things, and I want you to make sure you get these today. It's on the back side of your Grow, Pray, and Study if you're following along. And the first one is this. It says, takes on a task that no one else is doing it, and do it cheerfully. Now let's say that one aloud together. Takes on a task that no one else is doing, and does it cheerfully. Now y'all didn't convince me y'all are going to do it cheerfully. Y'all are just reading. I didn't even see a smile when you said that. But in essence, we're supposed to take on a task that no one else is doing, and doing it cheerfully. That doesn't mean that we go out on the street corner and say, I'm your humble servant, look at me and look what I'm doing. But in essence, that we go and identify a need, or we see where God is working and we join him in what he's doing. And we come alongside with what God is doing, and we do it cheerfully with a smile on our face. The second one, does not insist on getting their way. Are you like the guy at the ticket counter that wants his way and wants it right now? Are you truly humble? Number three, meets the needs of others before satisfying his or her own. Wow, that one's hard sometimes. I can appreciate that because each and every mealtime at night, my kids' needs get satisfied well before mine do. I've eaten a lot of cold meals. Any of y'all that have had children know that you eat a lot of cold meals sometimes. But in essence, that we meet the needs of others before satisfying his or her own, or ultimately our own. And the most important part, and this is where you'll hear me time and time again, hopefully through the years as we serve together, is focuses on the ministry that is being achieved more so than who is getting the credit. Focuses on the ministry that is being achieved more than who is getting the credit. Because in essence, Jesus called us to an example. He didn't call us to get a plaque, a t-shirt, or any other award or trophy for what we've done in humble service before him. He called us to be faithful. He called us to wash disciples' feet. He calls us to love the unlovely. And ultimately, he calls us to be the church, not in these four walls of the people that are gathered here today, but outside these four walls to love and to care for others. So my challenge for you today as your pastor and friend is to think about where you're serving, where God is already at work and where you can join him in that service. Some of that service may be within the four walls of this church. But I think a lot of the service that he's calling us to is outside the four walls. To love and care for people and to let them know that Jesus loves them as much as we love them.